Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Pac Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to SupDoc.
On today's episode of SupDoc, we recap the 2019 Netflix documentary Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, directed by Gina McDermott. And we get into spoilers, obviously.
That is right. And here is my take on Killer Inside. Killer Inside isn't your typical true crime documentary, as it veers from the how and into the wider lane of the why. This doc seems like a title in search of a story, as it tries too quickly to find answers and motivations into why a millionaire and beloved NFL superstar would risk everything for a few senseless crimes.
Yeah, I think that's a good take, Paco. My take on it is just they felt like they were just trying to jam every possible explanation together without ever landing on one. And then they kind of repeat the problem of like outing someone's sexuality who's not there to explain themselves, which they also suggest is why someone might commit suicide. So I don't think that's the best way to go about your documentary. But here is the trailer.
No one has allegedly murdered two people and then played an entire season as a professional athlete.
I can't wait to be free.
I'm Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, Connecticut. I play at Bristol Central High School.
Aaron Hernandez was a different level of athlete.
He was kind.
He wasn't someone who picked on other kids.
He's one of the best players in America. Get him the ball.
The Patriots reward him with a $40 million contract.
Aaron Hernandez was a ticking time bomb.
The why is the story here.
He was out to prove something. Like a tough guy all the time.
He had a second residence.
The flop house. He had trouble with drugs, with guns.
Aaron was absolutely operating on the edge.
New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez was arrested this morning at his residence.
Aaron was accused of murdering Odin Lloyd, his future brother-in-law.
How can an individual who has everything get involved in something like this?
I was the happiest little kid in the world, and you fucked me up.
I ain't living with that.
You did! I had nobody. What do you think I was gonna do? Become a perfect angel?
Aaron was extremely terrified of his father.
Violent outbursts were not uncommon in the Hernandez home.
Aaron had a history of concussion-related injuries.
At the drop of a hat, he became angry and violent.
You've had everything and threw it all away.
We had to hide what we were. He was in such denial.
Aaron had reason to fear for his own life.
I wanted revenge.
None of it makes sense.
The story is not just the Aaron Hernandez story. There's a lot of lives affected by this guy. Had to be shocked for all your teammates.
Next question.
I'm gonna explode.
All right, so that's the trailer for Killer Inside. And this, George, this three-part documentary series on Netflix really kind of took social media by storm. I know you just kind of finished it.
Yeah, I just finished it. And you were more aware of it when it happened, right? I wasn't really paying much attention when it happened.
Well, because I was fascinated by the story when it happened. I'm a big football fan. I hate the Patriots. And
everyone hates the Patriots. Everyone on the West Coast hates the Patriots, I think.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I mean, I hate the Cowboys and the Patriots equally. But they're kind of the, you know, the Darth Vader of football teams because they win all the time and nobody likes that. So I remember when this was all going down and Aaron Hernandez was like going to be basically like an all-star, maybe Hall of Famer tight end, you know, so it was very, very startling and surprising for everybody. And so when I saw this on Netflix, I mean, this is my jam. It's got sports, true crime, murder, you know, and everything else. So I was very excited when I saw this on Netflix.
Yeah, I can't say that I was particularly excited about this. I know that there was a big podcast about this called Gladiator. Wondery did a podcast about it. And I, again, know very little about football in general, but for some reason, when I was watching this, I'm like, oh, that guy was a Patriot? Oh, that guy was a Patriot. Oh, that guy was a Patriot. I'm like, oh, I know Bill Belichick is just like someone I like to make fun of because he just looks like a divorced dad. He's like the most iconic divorced dad look. But no,
just
cut
off sleeves and everything.
Yeah, there was just the way that they structured this. I gotta say, it it had the salacious like cliffhangers that you expect with a Netflix docuseries. It seems like they were originally just trying to make a documentary, and then the story just kind of kept spilling out in all these different directions, so it just turned into a three-parter.
Yeah, the many branches and avenues that this documentary took, I found myself just being like, what's the point here? What are we after? Like, I don't need to know all of these different variations of why Aaron Hernandez did what he did. You know, it's like, especially with like some of the like, I thought, more of the like almost like red herrings in a sense, you know?
Yeah, a lot of red herrings.
Like, yeah, and it's like, you know, I thought it kind of cheapened it. I will say, I think the documentary is very watchable. It's well made. And I think it's a very interesting and compelling story. However, it's like, you know, was he gay? Was he molested? You know, his father stuff. His mother didn't
love
him.
Seems like he was
enough.
Molested, though, for sure.
Who knows? I don't know.
Oh, you think that's not true? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? I don't. All I know is the legal stuff. And like, I mean, for me, it's like, I feel like Killer Inside spent way too much time on Aaron Hernandez's why and not enough of from the victim side of things. And not enough of the why do we care? Like, if he was not a millionaire NFL superstar, would we care?
Or like, I guess, would he have been enabled to do all this stuff and have this sort of layer of protection where he thought he could get away with stuff if he hadn't been like a sports star? But I mean, I guess I do agree with you in like the craft of the series, in that like it made me kind of like question like when they kind of got to the second trial, which technically was murders that happened earlier than the main murder, like that didn't get introduced till like the second season or second episode. Like they really like got me flip flopping on everything, which I guess just shows that I'm gullible. If they're not great filmmakers, and I'm just so gullible, I'm just like, yeah, you put those scenes in a certain order, and I believed what the fancy defense attorney said that time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, that is like kind of clever filmmaking. And, you know, that's why I think a lot of now documentary films get some pushback because they're not necessarily a true factual representation of what happened. A lot of times it's like, oh, these filmmakers were biased and they have an agenda and they need to hook you in and stuff. And that's why, you know, to me, which I said in my review, it's not like this is not a true crime documentary in that it just unfolding historically and chronologically. This is more of a like an expose on a wealthy guy that had like, you know, a horrible upbringing or something. You know, it's like it just didn't felt kind of weird to me.
You mean like so when your mind, when you think of true crime as a genre, what are the hallmarks of true crime that weren't getting hit here then?
Well, I would say less of the why and more of the how.
Okay.
You know, when you see true crime, it's how did these things happen? Like what, you know, first this guy went here, then he did this, and then he did this. You know, it's like chronologically the hows.
They
this
had was almost, video of it. They had video of so much of this.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's this was more about the why. It was like, why did he do it? Was it because of his dad? Was it because he was gay? Was it because he had CTE? Was he molested? His mom was not too close enough to him. It's like, well, there's a lot of football players with CTE that had horrible dads that were molested, that their moms didn't hug them enough. They didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. There's like still like the I listened to another podcast, which is with the director of this. And it's like they still don't know why Odin Lloyd was killed. Like there is the main murders in here have like no explanation, really. Like there's got to be a motive, but whether it was a coherent motive or, you know, what about those two other guys? Like they were there, like they didn't ever say anything.
I know, like, yeah.
No interviews with those guys. I would have loved an interview with Alexander Bradley. But we did not get an interview with Alexander Bradley. It seemed like he got basically an immunity deal for testifying against Aaron Hernandez.
Right. And then there's the star basically of these of this doc series is the dad and the son.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like they're definitely compelling characters in the whole thing. Like the guy who basically was a football player grew up with Aaron. They were sexually involved in high school. And the dad, I think you pointed out, like, yeah, like the dad is actually like kind of like a reformed homophobe or something.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, he's like, yeah, you know, the fucking guys are not supposed to kiss each other. Then finds out his son's gay and he like transforms himself to be like, this is beautiful. This, you know, he's my son and I love him. And it would have been great if he and Aaron could have had a life together as a couple. And just like, oh,
I don't know if that is necessarily would have prevented the murders. That's like a big question. It's like, would you want to be married to this guy anyway? If like, yeah, well, he's doing life in jail, but I may not get any money from this. And I don't know if that was the best fate for Dennis. Is that his name? Danny Dennis. To be saddled with this like a guy who is like a stoner murderer. Like
and loves Harry Potter,
but very, very rich, very rich, very well compensated. Oh yeah, there were so many. God damn it! You know what I did? I watched. I would say I was like 90% done with this, and there was still like a half hour left on it. And I came back and finished that today. I'm like, whoa! It went so many directions in the last half hour.
So many directions.
Like side things that were going on. I'm like,
well, it makes sense that it was a three-part series. I didn't realize it was a three-part series when I first watched it, and I was like, well, this is a weird ending. And I was like, there's more.
You didn't know. Right. You didn't know. You just started it, and then it just like did that thing where it rolls off, and you're just like, what a weird way to end this. Oh, okay, part two. You got Netflixed. You got Netrolled.
Sir, you just got Netflixed. Yeah.
Rickrolled by the service, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and the documentary raises interesting questions. Again, it's mostly why and not much how. And you have a clip with the defense attorney that you want to play. So let's actually go into that clip and take a listen to this.
It's all about the business of football, whether it's on the collegiate level or whether it's on the professional level, and very little to do with what ultimately become an expended asset of the business, which are these players in the end. I believe that if someone had made football less important and Aaron's life and his behavior more important, the outcomes may have been different.
I like that defense attorney for a lot of reasons, but it seemed like he was like, I'm gay and this isn't like a legitimate thing to bring up in like a court of law. And I think that the court actually backed him up on that. Like they were going to bring in a witness. They never said what witness they were going to bring in.
Right.
They claimed they were going to bring in a witness that was going to be like, well, this is someone that can attest to a possible motive that has something to do with his sexuality. And he's like, that you can't really bring up like gay panic as like in a courtroom, you know, as like
not yet, thank God.
Maybe they they probably have done it in the past, but
oh yeah,
yeah. There's a very complicated part of this that I feel like was the discussion about this documentary that people I read sort of like people commenting on it and being like, well, I don't know why they needed to go there. And
right.
I wouldn't say there's like no reason to go there if you're trying to establish some kind of motive, but nothing is conclusive. So it is all just speculation. So it's like, well, let's speculate on this. But then like as like a reason for the final suicide. And it's just like, I don't know. It sort of sticks in my craw a little bit. How do you like kind of address that, bring it up and be like, well, actually, we don't have a conclusion. We're not even like going to say this is why. We're just going to bring it up as a possible this is why and not even like. Yeah. What is the thing they call Damocles, the sword of the Gordian knot or whatever? Like the most simple solution is probably the correct solution. What is that? Occam's razor?
Occam's razor, yeah.
What is Gordian knot? Is that something else completely?
I think that is a puzzle that can't be solved or something.
Well,
I don't know.
That kind of applies as well. But Occam's razor, I'm like, what are the most obvious reasons that this would have happened? Someone was super, and felt super entitled.
Right.
And had bad impulse control and was really paranoid. And yeah, I don't know. At least for the Odin Lloyd murder, like that's what we can say. There's still not really a good explanation for the other murders.
No, there isn't, other than he was a complete just thug that had problems controlling his anger and thought that he was above the law. I mean, that's the conclusion I came up with, is that he just kind of felt entitled at some point, because he probably had gotten away with crimes a lot over his lifetime and felt like he could get away with it. What I think is crazy is that, like, if I felt like some guy I knew was coming to pick me up to kill me, I would not get in the fucking car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to text my girlfriend and be like, if I don't make it, it's because of NFL guy. Like, I just don't understand that.
Your sister's fiance. You could have said that.
Like, yes. Just, yes.
The code. It was reminding me like now of like, have you watched Uncut Gems?
Yes. Yes.
Like, there's a lot of getting in cars in that movie.
There's a lot of getting in cars.
What the fuck? What are you doing?
Yes. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of
cars. Like, I know. Sometimes you can't not get in a car.
Is that right?
I mean,
have you ever gotten into a car that you didn't want to get into?
No, I haven't. But let's say you're in a country you don't know very well, and there's like someone's there, and they got the sign with your name. Maybe you just do it. But no, I mean, like, yeah, not from like Connecticut to like Boston or whatever. I mean, Boston to Connecticut, reverse. I have also heard that Connecticut is a rough place to grow up and is a
absolutely
rough state overall. And I think people don't realize that, because I think we confuse like Northeastern states with being like all like Maine or something.
Yes. Genteel, like guys with corduroy jackets and elbow covers and teaching creative writing. And
the Patriots play in Boston or like what? Like Massachusetts. They're like by Boston, the greater Boston area. Like the Patriots Stadium. So yeah, like he was close enough to the place he grew up in where. What about this thing about the Patriots paying for him to have a second apartment?
Yeah.
When the rationale was like, I'm worried that my wife and child could get hurt. Oh, just give me like a trap house, essentially.
Right. That's what he had. He had a trap house so he could smoke weed and fucking get whatever he wanted to have done, you know, like to do whatever he wanted. I mean, it's crazy. And then the talking the neighbor part was cracking.
Oh, that neighbor.
There's so many of these weird things that happen in this documentary, you know, not just the interview with the guy and his son, but the next door neighbor lady. And
this reminds me of having just seen I Love You Now Die. Like, how many archaic rules there are in Massachusetts, because it's one of the oldest states settled by Puritans.
Yeah, you can't have a witch and a duck in the same room.
It's like there's an abatement clause. There's like whatever Michelle Carter's whatever they got her on. Just like the Commonwealth has a lot of weird laws.
She was just released.
Yeah.
Like 3 days ago.
Twitter has a very negative reactions towards
it. Well, yes, of course.
It's Twitter. It's where all negative reactions live. You see any real critiques of this film or this series come out anywhere? Did you see any commentary about this one?
I did. I mean, most of the research I did was negative in that people just thought it was too much of a shotgun blast and not like specifically focused enough. Like kind of what you were saying in your review.
Good choice of words.
Thank you.
Yeah. it's more of like, just an assassin kill.
They didn't quite kill it, but they did take a shotgun blast. But like what you were saying, it was kind of all over the place.
Alexander Bradley. There was one eye working at the end of this.
That guy looked, when he was in the witness chair, he was just like, ugh, it's like a got caught, you know?
Well, I didn't realize this was confirmed upon subsequent research. He did lose that eye in that shooting. They don't really explain that, but
they do. Brief the thing about docs like this is you almost have to watch them two or three times. Like I have now watched
that's
this,
like 9 hours.
I know, man. See, yeah, I got time, but you don't. So I've watched it one and a half times.
Don't admit that on a podcast.
I mean, you have time. I have more time. Yeah. I watching it one and a half times over. There was stuff I didn't realize that his aunt. So they talk about this weird
connection.
His cousin. Sorry.
Yeah, she's like an aunt. It's probably like a second cousin who's like the age of an aunt. Yeah.
Whatever strange relationship he had with her, but I didn't realize he drove his she drove his accomplices away.
Oh yeah, that's right.
She drove the dude to Georgia, then got him a bus ticket to Florida. She helped the other guy. Plus the fucking car that she hid in her garage.
Yeah. That is a ride or die, as you would say. Ride and die in this case.
Yeah.
That seems like the closest relationship he really has with anyone. I feel like, man, I feel kind of bad for... Do you feel bad for the fiancé, or do you... What do you think with the fiancé?
That's a good question, man.
Shanna Jenkins.
I mean, I'm gonna take like a horrible political stand on it and say both. I feel like she was an accomplice because she got rid of the murder weapon.
That's right. How is she not on trial as an accessory?
I don't know because
the heaviest garbage bag. The heaviest garbage bag on your own camera system.
Yeah. Oh,
these people are hoisted by their own camera system also. Like,
ain't this? They are. I mean, talk about true, like classic true crime is usually about career criminals. These guys
like
obviously.
Fargo. This is like the Fargo TV. It's like Fargo season
that's
5.
Funny. Oh my God. I can't wait for Fargo. Yeah. It's coming out. It's Chris good. Rock is in it, the new season. Yes. But. I feel bad for her because, you know, she loved the guy. She had her baby, you know, and I have a soft heart for everybody that seems like they're a victim. But she was also obviously an accomplice. So, you know, I mean, she's probably lucky she's not in jail. And I just watched the teary-eyed video of her being like, you know, I wish I had known he was gay. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I just sent that to you in Slack, too. I was like the ABC interview and I was going to bring that up. She's like, I wish... I could have told him it was okay and I'd still love him and stuff. And I mean, maybe that is true on some level, but I mean, like if it was basically like it is part of it, like obviously there was side action occurring during the relationship. I mean, like they met in high school, right? So his whole time when he's off in college, I'm sure there was a lot of experimentation going on. So I don't know. I mean, That is hard though, like, because she is also, you know, like the kid is totally innocent of everything, like the daughter is now like 8, and she's basically like now her teachers are watching this, you know, her teachers are
I
watching
know.
This series. On
well,
Netflix.
She's old enough to watch it now, and then she's gonna hear
no,
her
you don't let
voice.
An 8-year old watch this. I guess it's Netflix. No one's stopping her.
But
it's like
you know,
right
I had
next.
A, I had a lot of my friends ask me, like, how were they able to get the audio from
the
prison?
Oh, that was my question, too. Did you find an answer?
It's freedom of information. It's actually public information, because we pay for those prisons, our
tax
dollars. So that's actually public information, and you can do a FOI on it and get copies of it because, yeah, it's out there. I don't know how long they hold on to them after a prisoner's deceased, but the other theory I heard about that, about him killing himself, was that his wife and daughter were able to get his money from the Patriots.
Right. They brought that up in here, and like, did sounds like that didn't shake out.
I don't really know. I don't think it did, but that was a theory.
That was like another like side twist. It was just like the reason everyone in this prison knew about abatement was this pederast priest was murdered the moment he stepped foot on the general public floor. And so everyone in there was like, oh, you're not guilty if you're murdered during an appeal. So that was interesting side thing to learn. Again, Odin Lloyd's mom actually convinces Massachusetts to change the abatement law, which must go back to literally witch trials. Yeah.
Like it's got to be
way the fuck back. Fucking so it's like a lot of those witches were not convicted. If you think about it, those witches died. Actually never convicted, but, burned at the stake nonetheless.
We just had kind of a trial of that recently in Senate.
Oh, a witch trial? Is that what you're saying? Really. Are you saying it was all a witch trial? Are you saying Marie Ivanovich is a witch? Is that what you're claiming?
No, I am not.
Marina Abramovich and Marie Ivanovich.
I wouldn't say it was a witch trial. I'd say it was a Mitch trial.
Yeah.
Boom.
A Mitch. A McConnell. I got nothing. All
right. So let's get into scoring this doc. So now we have a scoring platform called the Herzogs, from 1 to 10 Herzogs that we will recommend it or not. Why don't you go ahead, George, and tell the people how do you rate this?
Yeah, you know what? We could make this a 1 to 5 because I don't see a lot of half Herzogs running around. I don't see a one half of a Herzog. Like what half would you accept, a top or bottom half of a Herzog?
Top.
Okay, yeah, that's the most interesting. The half that can just be like, why did you sever me at my midsection? I would give it a 6. I mean, that's like a 3 out of 5. I'm good at math. Like a strong D. I mean, form-wise and research-wise is good. What you want is access to something you can't have access to, which is Aaron Hernandez. And like, the whole thing that I learned in this other interview with the filmmakers was they were actually working on this before he killed himself, right? So they were working on this story the whole time. And then when he killed himself, they're like, well, shit, now we need to revise how we're approaching this entire story. Because you're never going to get that jail cell interview that you thought you were going to get. I mean, even if he kind of lied during the jail cell interview, it'd at least be like, you know, something that you could provide. And here it's like all these tertiary figures, like even though he was involved with that guy in high school, it's like that guy had no idea what happened those last few years of his life or what happened around the murder. You know, like he didn't keep in touch with that guy.
Right.
Or like some of his college buddies, like was he really like talking to all his college buddies? Or like, yo, like I'm going to confess in this recording.
Right.
And the other person that you would want was like the cousin who also passed away. So no one knows what happened, and it's all guesswork.
And that it's pure speculation, and that's part of the problem. But I guess one of the reasons they use his prison voice recordings to have his like voice represented in the doc through his recordings, I suppose. But let's play Cast This Doc.
Gotta cast this doc. Cast this doc.
All right, so George, who would you cast in this doc?
Well, I can't think of anyone for Aaron Hernandez. Like you kind of like think like maybe back in the day The Rock could have done it. I guess like a young The Rock would have worked. Yeah. But I always feel like Bill Belichick and like Steve Bannon look kind of similar. Like, they kind of are, like, blending the same, like, doughy, angry person that will go hang out with Trump. Right. I didn't remember that he killed himself the day the Patriots went to the White House.
Yeah, that's no. Well,
how did that? If you were going to try to, like, steal some thunder, I think that is one way to do
That's on your fucking calendars where you put that. You're like, suicide, day of White House meeting.
Yeah, like yeah, your former teammates are like, no questions, please. No one answer any questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Steve Bannon, Bill Belichick. I think that's...
Got it.
What's the name of the owner?
Oh, Kraft. Robert Kraft.
Right. I didn't have anyone for him. Just like a generic... You know what would be kind of an interesting... Go a totally different direction for him would be like, you know, like a Wallace Shawn or something. You just go completely like a like not just anti casting in a way.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or
that's
like
funny.
I don't really have anyone else nailed for anyone. Yeah. What about you?
For Aaron Hernandez, Brendan Schaub, I think would be perfect. The former wrestler, fighter, now stand-up comedian. Famous for his podcast, The Fighter and the Kid.
Okay, with Brian Callen, that guy.
Yeah, with Brian Callen. Yeah, I think he would. I think the obvious pick for the biopic of this documentary, and then for the father of the son, the guy that played Bobby Baccalieri in The Sopranos. Which Steve Sharipa is that actor. I think those are my picks for Cast This Doc.
I thought you were going to say Bobby Cannavale, but this is one thing. This is one Boston story where I don't see Bobby Cannavale anywhere in it. I don't really see him. I don't think they should make this into a biopic, though. So it'll be like, or maybe it could be good. I mean, like that Cuba Gooding Jr. OJ thing ended up being kind of good.
It was really good. I loved. Oh, you know, I didn't do my Herzogs.
I
had originally given this 8 Herzogs. I'm going to now downgrade it to 7 Herzogs after watching it for 1.5 times. I just feel like it was kind of a scattershot and all over the place. I thought it was visually great. I think it's a great film. I think they did a great job of editing and the score and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of like it kind of misses the point, I think. It kind of misses home.
Yeah.
So here we go. So let's
it's a choose your own adventure, really.
It is basically a choose your own adventure. So there you go. So George gives it 6 Herzogs. I give it 7 Herzogs. You can watch it on Netflix. If you liked it or you did not like it, email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at supdocpodcast or even Instagram. Let us know how you felt about Killer Insides. All right. So let's get to some news and some updates and anything else we want to gab about.
Yeah, for sure. Anything you've seen recently that you're excited, or some you've seen described that you're interested in seeing?
Some new docs. There's a Clash doc that's supposed to be coming out that I wouldn't mind seeing. I think it's their 50th anniversary.
Oh
40th
my
anniversary?
Gosh. Oh something. Yeah. Let's see. What year did London Calling come out? Probably 76, 77.
Yeah. Something wow. like that. So I'm kind of interested in that. I love the Clash. So I think that would be fun, to check out. But, that is about the only one that I've seen lately that kind of strikes my fancy.
Oh, you know, this is kind of a follow up to an old episode. If you go back and listen to my interview with William Badgley, he just made, I had seen a rough cut, like a year and a half ago, of his Don Letts documentary. That ties into the Clash. Don Letts made like the Ross Kasbah video, was a documentarian photographer for all the early London punk scene.
Oh,
and
nice.
He was in Big Audio Dynamite with Mick Jones. So he, the film just, I believe, debuted at, I want to say, Rotterdam Film Festival in the Netherlands.
Okay.
So yeah, William Badgley was just posting about that. So that looks awesome. So that's a good crossover with the Clash. I'm sure Don Letts probably provided a bunch of footage and photography for archive for that Clash film.
Nice.
A friend of mine made a film that just debuted at Sundance called Feels Good Man, which is about Matt Fury and the Pepe the Frog the afterlife of the Pepe the Frog meme and kind of like this very complicated evolution of basically online culture and like memes and the alt-right and a lot of like it really kind of be part of it is like a documentary about like 4chan culture and just like kind of this life of what we think of as these basement dwelling neckbeard people, and just kind of like how sad that life actually is and like how much Pepe came to represent that for people, and then like sort of the downward spiral of being online in the 4chan 8chan world. So a lot of it's about that. Arthur
and that
Jones,
Pepe didn't start out as a alt-right champion logo.
No, like the whole Pepe the Frog thing was actually a San Francisco underground cartoonist named Matt Fury. And the whole thing totally got away from him. He like posted on MySpace and people started using the meme for like weightlifting. And then it just totally transmogrified inside of the 4chan like ecology. And to the point where the kind of the tipping point is like Donald Trump reposting a picture of him as Pepe. And just like... Then the Clinton campaign saying, there's so much in here. And I'm hoping that Arthur will come on the show and talk to us. He said he was down. So, Arthur, I'm holding you to that.
Yeah.
And Sundance seemed like a bunch of good reviews came out from Sundance for the film. And I'm hoping this is one of those films that gets picked up and will have a pretty wide streaming release sometime in the next few months. So, feels good,
awesome.
Man. Arthur Jones' debut documentary. He's an animator by trade, so it's his first time. And I remember him telling me about working on this a couple years ago when I first met him. He was like, I'm actually working on something with Matt Fury about this thing.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to be great. It's a great topic.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, let's pitch a doc. I have an idea for a doc that I want to see badly. And do you know on social media or Facebook, Twitter, whatever, when there's this thing where people write, how old were you when you learned ...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want a documentary about those things. And the reason I bring this up, George, is because you know how I struggle with fitted sheets. You know how horrible that is in my life.
Is this about to be a sponsored campaign? Like, do we get an advertiser we didn't know about? What are you talking about?
You know how much I love Serta Rust. You know, my friend the other day on Facebook said, today I was 40 years old when I learned that the tag in the fitted sheet goes on the lower right-hand side of the mattress. That's how you know it fits. That's where it goes for the fitted sheet to fit properly. And I was like, oh my God, that's fucking amazing. And I need this in my life.
So you want a whole documentary about the meme or about you not knowing about the sheets?
No,
about
mostly
sheet
about
tag?
Like someone else wrote, did you know that like 8% or, you know, a percentage works backwards. So, you know,
8% I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that to me is amazing. I want a documentary about all those little tidbits because I didn't know that either, you know. So the percentages work backwards, you know. 8% of 25 is the same as 25% of 8, you know. So it's like I want a documentary of just that kind of stuff. And I want someone like fun and fancy I want Jack Black to narrate it and to be the host.
So almost like what you want is like children's programming, but for adults that didn't learn
that's
things.
My entire life, dude.
What
feel
I want
seen,
is
George.
For someone to explain something that children should know, but somehow I missed.
Hashtag life hack, dog. Yeah. That's what I'm after. So what do you got, buddy?
I kind of had two ideas, but like the first one was actually, I saw a posting from one of our former guests, Jody Willey, and I guess she was part of the programming for the first LA, there's a film festival about films about disabilities called Real Abilities, R-E-E-L. And then I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then it's been a festival that travels from city to city. It's been around for like 10 years or something. So I think there could be a really interesting documentary just about this film festival targeted for films about representing disability. So that seems
that's
like
awesome.
And like they could just show it at the film festival. So
yeah.
There's a built-in audience for that.
That is awesome. Great. So that is Pitch a Doc. I think both of those docs would be amazing. So if you're a documentary filmmaker, please just make those. And if you have any doc that you're working on and you want to promote, just get a hold of us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'll talk. We'll do a little talking. Also, we are on Patreon. Don't forget, you can support SupDoc on Patreon. It's patreon.com/supdocpodcast. Give whatever you can until it hurts, folks. And what are you up to in the next couple of weeks, George? What's going on?
Well, I think by the time this airs, the Super Bowl will have happened, and I have no money on that at all, so it doesn't matter to me. Okay. You're in 49er country, but down here, I don't think people care too much. I'll take the 49ers over the Patriots in general supports. I have a show on the 6th, this Thursday, the 6th, at Gyrobot Comedy Night. Irene Tu is doing it. I run with Jessica Seeley and Curtis Cook. And my show Real Pain is back on February 15th at Real Pain Fine Arts. You can find both of those on Eventbrite. That's a show in Mid-City. Marcel Arguello's just joined the lineup. Awesome. It's going to be a fun show. And first Sunday in March, I am doing Weirdo Night at the Zebulon Dynasty Handbags Night. So, yeah.
Fantastic. I've got jury duty next week, which is going to be fun.
Who books that?
The Superior Court of San Francisco. I'm going to be at the Flamingo Resort on February 7th doing a show there. That's in Santa Rosa. And I'll be in San Francisco doing a bunch of shows for the rest of the month of February. I'll also be in Vegas February 29th at the House of Blues. That's going to be a good show with my buddy Stephen Lynch.
Nice.
So if you're in Vegas, come by that. So thank you guys for listening. Yeah. George, this is awesome.
Yeah, you can find our dates on our website, supdocpodcast.com. Find descriptions of everything that we talk about on there as well.
That's right. Remember, folks, truth is stranger than fiction, so keep watching documentaries. Keep listening to SupDoc Podcast. Thanks, guys.